Welcome to The Bridge, the radio ministry of The Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Paul Brown. Today, Pastor Paul brings part two of his series on the New Testament book of Philemon.
Jesus is the bridge, the way to life eternal. Come and see, come and live, come and grow. Come and see, come and live, come and grow.
One of the tragically missing qualities in many people today is deep, abiding character. I came across some quotes about this issue of character. Thomas Paine said, "Character is much better kept than recovered." Phillips Brooks, who wrote the Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, wrote this, "Character may be manifested in the great moments, but it is made in the small ones." Another person wrote, "Be more concerned with your character than with your reputation. Your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are." Character is critical. And as we continue our study of the book of Philemon, we come across a man of character. As we look at the beginning of this book, we find some valuable lessons on the kind of character we need if we're going to be people who freely forgive. And Paul points out these characteristics in Philemon as a basis for the appeal he's going to make to forgive his runaway slave, Onesimus. This is the kind of character that responds out of love, even when you've been severely wronged. Last week, we did an introduction to the book. We saw the Apostle Paul was the author. He wrote this while he was in prison in Rome, and the occasion was his Philemon, his friend, whose slave had run away, and now he had led that man to Christ and was sending him back and wanting Philemon to forgive him. So we've seen the setting. Now let's look at the way Paul tactfully appeals to Philemon to forgive. And he starts first with appreciation of Philemon. In other words, let's look at the character of the one who forgives. And there are so many lessons in here on tact that if a person wanted to do a seminar, they could use this book alone and do an entire weekend conference on tactfulness. So many lessons on it here. And one of those lessons is that when you need to confront someone, begin with something positive or something encouraging. Some people call this the Oreo principle, where just like the Oreo, you have something nice and sweet and on the outside, something a little bit different in the middle, that challenging confrontational part, and then you have something nice again at the end, so that the thing that you have to challenge them with is surrounded by some positive encouragement. You see this in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, where Jesus confronts seven churches. Five of the seven had significant problems that had to be confronted. But in most of the cases, Jesus starts with something positive before he gets to the negative. I heard the story of a very successful Florida manufacturer, and he was recalling the day he was tactfully fired from his first job. He said the owner called him into his office and said, "Son, I don't know how we're going to get along without you, but starting Monday, we're going to try." Now, that is a tactful way to fire somebody. Now, Paul, in these seven verses of verses 1 through 7, will tactfully lead up to his appeal for Philemon to forgive. And there are three character issues he appreciates that he points out that's going to make Philemon a man able to forgive. And the first one is that Philemon is a family man. Look at verses 1 through 3. "Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ." Note Paul says, "I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus." Now, in most of his epistles, he starts by saying he's an apostle, but he doesn't need to do that here. Yes, he is an apostle, but he's really the prisoner or the slave of Jesus Christ. Now, what he's trying to say is, hey, don't forget, Philemon, I'm a slave of Jesus, and so are you. This is going to be critical for him to be able to forgive a slave who has offended him. "I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ, just as you are, dear brother. As I am to follow Christ's example, you are to follow me as I follow that example." And listen to me, my friend, sometimes obedience can lead to problems and suffering. It's not just disobedience that causes us to have a difficult time. Sometimes when the children of God obey God explicitly, it gets them in trouble in this world. And Paul wants Philemon to understand that. Paul was obedient and he ended up in prison. His life could soon end, but he was going to be obedient no matter what. Onesimus, as your slave, Philemon, was supposed to do everything you commanded him to do, but he didn't. You, Philemon, as a slave of Jesus, are supposed to do everything he commands you to do, which I will soon instruct you in this letter. Paul wants Philemon to understand that he was imprisoned for the sake of and by the sovereign will of Christ. So what Paul is doing here is he's trying to start this as a gentle appeal to a friend, not an apostolic mandate from a position of authority. It's a reminder of Paul's severe hardships and how this was bound to influence Philemon's willingness to do the comparatively easy task Paul was about to request. Philemon, if I can joyfully endure this, you can certainly do the right thing with the man I'm sending back to you. Then Paul reminds him that he's also got Timothy right there with him. And Timothy, our brother, is riding along with me to you, my friend. He was spared imprisonment, but he's there with Paul in Rome anyway. And by adding these words, Timothy, our brother, it strengthened the weight of Paul's sympathy and love. Timothy is in full agreement with me, Philemon, and what I'm about to say to you. So that's written by Paul to Philemon. I love his name. The word Philemon means one who kisses. Philemon is a relational man. He's a person you could count on as an intimate friend. He's one who embraces you. He's one who cares for you. And Paul says he's his beloved brother and fellow worker. He says, I'm sharing with you from a perspective of love. This is not rebuke. This is not condemnation. I appreciate you. I love the camaraderie we've had, the kinship and the work of Christ as fellow workers. I'm writing to you that way, my dear friend. But I'm also writing to Apphia, our sister, and her name means fruitful. Now, most have concluded this is the wife of Philemon. Why did she need to hear what Paul is going to say? Well, more than likely, she directed the slaves in the home, and she needed to understand what is going to happen with this man who was a slave of ours who ran away. And then Paul also writes this letter to Archippus, our fellow soldier. His name means master of the horse. Now, some have believed and concluded this is the son of Philemon and Apphia. So if he's a son, he would have also needed to know how to treat Onesimus when he came back. This man, by the way, was also commissioned in Colossians 4:17 to become the new overseer of the church in Colossae. Their previous pastor, Epaphras, had sailed off to Rome, was in prison, and couldn't return. So here you have this man, Archippus, who's a fellow soldier. And you also have in Colossians 4:17 a challenge given to him, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord that you may fulfill it. So here he has this man, more than likely the son of Philemon, who is a fellow soldier, a companion in arms. And Paul wants all of them to listen to this message and apply it. But he doesn't stop there. He also says, I'm writing to the church in your house. You're referring to Philemon, not Archippus. And what an example of hospitality this man is. So here you have a family man. He's committed to his wife. He's committed to his son. They're all actively engaged in the church that meets in their home, probably a large home. He's probably a very wealthy man, yet he holds his things loosely. He uses what he has for the glory of God, and he gladly invites the church to share what he has. Philemon is a devoted man. Reminds me of Joshua when he said this great statement, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is important, my friends, because character shows up at home. Howard Hendricks, with brilliant insight, once said this, if your Christianity does not work at home, it does not work. Another man, Alexander McLaren, wrote this, if our likeness to God does not show itself in trifles, what is there left for it to show itself in? For our lives are all made up of trifles. The great things come three or four of them in the 70 years that we live, the little ones every time the clock ticks. The point they're making is this. the biggest things you're going to do are just going to happen in the day-to-day affairs of life. This is who you are. This is where you need to demonstrate your character. And Paul is telling Philemon, you're a family man. Family matters to you, not just your own family, but the family of God. And Paul wants that family included in this instruction. He wanted the whole church to know so there would be positive peer pressure. He also wanted the whole church to learn from this experience. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Philemon was the only person in the church struggling to forgive someone? Hold on a second. Man, big knot in my throat. All right, thank you. 2 Corinthians 2 warns us that Satan loves bitterness and lack of forgiveness. It's rampant inside and outside of the church. If Philemon dealt with Onesimus privately, then the church wouldn't have known what happened. They probably knew that he had run off and had been gone for quite some time. If he just came back and it wasn't made public, can you imagine the gossip? Can you imagine the discussions, the questions? The assumptions, the way people often in church fill in the blanks when they don't know the details. Oh no, this was best to be dealt with publicly by the whole church so that they could bring this man back in together. And Paul says to him, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is the means of salvation. It's justification, sanctification, good works, and glorification, all by God's grace. And that grace leads to peace, which is the fruit of salvation. And Paul is starting to begin this statement by saying, Philemon, you're the recipient of grace and peace. Oh, shouldn't you share it with others? So Philemon is a family man, and Paul knows he can appeal to him, his wife, his son, and his church to do the right thing. Could Paul write the same thing to you and to me? Are we devoted to our families? Are we devoted to our church? Is our life the same at home as it is at church? Are we leading by our character? That's the kind of man Philemon was. If you've just joined us, you're listening to The Bridge, the radio ministry of the Bridge Bible Fellowship. I'm Pastor Paul Brown, and we're studying the book of Philemon now in verses 4 and 5. See, Paul says, Philemon, you're not just a family man, you're a faithful man. He says, I thank my God always making mention of you in my prayers because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Love and faith, you add hope into that. And 1 Corinthians 13 says that's the great triad. Faith, hope, and love are things that ought to be characteristic of true believers. But in verse 4, don't overlook these statements about Paul's prayer. Paul intercedes and gives thanks for this man. And don't just jump over this because he starts most of his books this way. There's tremendous instruction here. Paul is saying, Philemon, when I go to God on your behalf, all I can give is thanks. I really can't think of anything negative about you. Wow, I've often wondered, if Paul wrote a letter to me, would he say the same thing? Would he say, all I got to say is I'm just thankful for you? Oh, that's what I wish. Or would he start off by saying, Dear Paul, we need to talk. Let's be people of character. Be faithful. Verse 5, he says, you have faith toward the Lord Jesus. That means face to face with. Philemon, your faith is so real that it's as if you're looking at Jesus face to face all the time. You're practicing the presence of God. You're living as if he's there all the time. You're walking in the Spirit. You are ever aware of his holy presence and living accordingly. You have a faith, a trust in the Lord Jesus. And this is common knowledge. I hear of this. I heard of this from others. Your reputation precedes you. Everywhere I go, anybody who knows you tells me about you and the tremendous faith you have toward Jesus Christ. Now, some people then get the wording mixed up here because of the way it says, I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And they go, wait a minute, does Philemon have faith in the Lord Jesus and faith in the saints? Is that what he's saying? Is this kind of like the Catholics who pray to their patron saints? No, that's not what he's saying at all. It's better to see this in what's called a chiastic construction, where there's 4 points made, and points 1 and 4 go together, and points 2 and 3 go together. What Paul is saying to him is, you have faith toward the Lord Jesus. That's in the middle. But on the outside, and you have love toward all the saints. You have an agape. You have a sacrificial giving of yourself for the benefit of the people you care for. This is unto them. You are always giving to the saints. You are always loving toward the saints. You are willing to sacrifice for other believers. What a man of character. This is a man who is living, believing that Jesus is watching all the time and gladly taking care of the people whom Jesus has saved. And what great tact this is by Paul. He's saying, Philemon, you are known all over the world as a man who loves your brothers and sisters in Christ. And he's about to tell him, and guess who you have as a new brother? So in verses 8 and 9, he's going to say, I want to appeal to you on the basis of that very love. Perhaps Philemon had even been praying for the salvation of his runaway slave. And Paul wants him to know those prayers have been answered. This is a man you can love just like your other brothers and sisters in Christ. So Paul appreciates Philemon as a family man and a faithful man, and thirdly, as a fruitful man, verses 6 and 7. I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. The words "and I pray" are in italics because it's not in the Greek text, but it's obviously implied. It's a carryover from what he had just said in verse 5, where he's explaining his prayers for Philemon. But he brings up this interesting statement. I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective. Now, the New International Version translates this, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Implied, if you go out and share your faith, you will come to a deeper understanding of all that you have in Christ. Now, that may very well be true. And truly, going out and sharing our faith is a vital part of our Christian life, and it is a tremendous asset in our personal growth. But is that what this verse means? And I don't think so. I think it's better translated the way the New American Standard has it, that the fellowship of your faith may become effective. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, the word fellowship means sharing or partnership. It could be a business relationship or the sharing of your possessions. Verse 7 implies that Philemon had been generous toward the saints and had refreshed them. So what other clues do we have as to the meaning of this phrase? Well, the fellowship of your faith may become effective or energized or powerful is what that word means. So Paul is saying, Philemon, you're a faithful man, and I want your faith in Christ to become even more effective so that your fellowship with others is powerful. Now, have you ever wanted a more powerful faith? You say, yeah, I'm dedicated to my family. I'm dedicated to the family of God. I'm generous. I have a reputation as one who has a deep faith in Jesus. I have a genuine love for other believers, but I know there's still more. What am I missing? See, you want to grow deeper and stronger. You want to be more fruitful. So how do you grow beyond where you are right now? How do you get to the point where you can give more, where you can bear more fruit? And Paul says, Philemon, the way to do that is through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ. The fellowship of Philemon's faith will become more energized and powerful through knowledge. But Paul doesn't just say knowledge. He uses a Greek word that means experiential knowledge, not just intellectual understanding, not just data, not just facts, but a genuine life-changing understanding of the facts. Oh, my friends, my concern for the American church is that we have had great Bible teaching in this country for a long, long time. You get it at your church. You can get it on the internet. You can get it on podcasts. You can get it on radio and TV. So many places where we get knowledge. But is it a knowledge that energizes your faith so that your fellowship is powerful? Are others energized by the knowledge that we have? Is our knowledge experiential? Is it useful? Is it life-changing? Or is it simply intellectual? Oh, what a great concern I have for seminary students all across our country who are learning information, but are they learning about their Savior? Are they growing into a deeper, more powerful walk with Him? Calvin Coolidge said, "We do not need more knowledge. We need more character." And what specific knowledge is Paul praying about? He says, I want you to have the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ. What is that? That's who you are in Christ, your identity. It's the spiritual blessings you have in Christ. It's your future in Christ. See, the Bible often presents doctrine and then calls us to live like it. Ephesians 1 through 3, doctrine. 4 through 6, live like it. Colossians 1 through 2, doctrine. Colossians 3 and 4, live like it. Romans 1 through 11, doctrine. 12 through 16, live like it. You are beloved, predestined, chosen, justified, baptized, set apart, freed from the power of sin, sealed by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit. You have grace lavished upon you. You are joint heirs with Christ, citizens of heaven, future rewards beyond your wildest dreams. Live like it. Are you stuck in your Christian life today? Is the world starting to look a little better each day? There's certain appeal that wasn't there before. You're not so excited about being involved in your local church anymore. You're certainly not excited about witnessing. You're starting to become a little more focused on yourself. You're beginning to harbor feelings of anger, bitterness, and resentment toward others to the point you're avoiding them. You need some experiential knowledge of every good thing which is in you, and mark this, for Christ. It's not about you. It's for Christ. The ultimate purpose is not you or me. It's Jesus. See, these good things aren't in us for our glory, but His glory. God has flooded our lives with His grace and love so we can represent Jesus to the world. Get your eyes off your own self and back on Jesus. Then we will have an energizing fellowship because of our radical faith. But this fruit of His character wasn't just impactful on the people in His church. It impacted Paul. Verse 7, I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Paul found joy and comfort in Philemon's love, but not even the love that was directed toward Paul. See, Paul's life was all about the church. Paul was rejoicing when the people in the church were treated right. And when Philemon did this and blessed his other friends in the church and his faith was energizing in their lives, Paul was blessed by that. Philemon is well on the way because the saints have been refreshed through him. They've been able to rest from labor. Like Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Philemon is the picture of that person that when you're around him, you just take a deep breath and let it go. You relax, you feel better, you feel at peace. He makes you rest in the Lord. And not just superficially, but deep in your heart. What a man of character. How will God grow you in these areas? Is your faith in Jesus genuine and growing? What is your love for the saints like today? Are you growing in a deeper experiential awareness of every good thing that is in you unto Christ Jesus? What kind of example do you set for others? How do you influence them? Do you energize them? Do you encourage others to enter God's rest? That's the kind of person Philemon was and was becoming. And for that, Paul was thankful. Character counts. Philemon had the character Paul could count on, and it's the basis for his appeal to forgive. Do you have that kind of character today? Are you the kind of person Paul would write to and say, I'm just so thankful for you because you are a family man. You are a faithful person. You are a fruitful person. The world needs more people like you. And as we'll talk about next week, Onesimus needs a man like you.
Challenging words from Paul's letter to Philemon. Have you entered into a face-to-face relationship with Jesus Christ that impacts every area of your life? If you would like to, call our church at 818-776-1500. We would love to help you establish and grow in a genuine relationship with Jesus as Savior and Lord. If you don't have a church home, please join us. Our Sunday worship service is at 9 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages at 10:45 a.m. We are located at 18644 Sherman Way in Reseda, California. To learn more, please go to our church website at thebridgebiblefellowship.com. And please join us next Saturday at 7:30 a.m. on 99.5 KKLA as we continue our study of Philemon.